Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Man, we're spanning south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Solid conservative, just plain right. That was it's like Ted Nugent week around here. Boomer's all fired up over there at his desk. All right, number one on the triple dipper. Come and take it. Come and take it. What is going on when you see strange things happening? And right now, especially the federal government, but oftentimes too, you see things in state government. You look at it and go, hang on a second, we're not the problem. Now, I understand crime happens and it may be a state prosecutor that prosecutes the crime. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is the posture of government that automatically assumes the wrongs of society and basically begins taking punitive action before anything detrimental has even happened. I'm not talking about a lack of preparedness, y'all. I'm not saying police officers shouldn't get trained. That's not what I'm saying. Those are pure functions of government, and I get it. I'm talking about basically choosing the winners and the losers in life and leaning in hard to, and I have to use the word, oppressively, put the thumb on certain aspects of society. And too often right now, what we're seeing is it's the conservative side of society that's getting the shaft in the governmental action. Classic case. You ready for this? And I've got two articles on it, but the first one came off the Post-Millennial, dated August 2nd. Today's the 5th, so 3 days ago. August 2nd, Post-Millennial. Breaking. Project Veritas reveals FBI lists. The Gadsden flag, the Second Amendment, Revolutionary War imagery as extremist symbols. Okay, if you're not familiar, the Gadsden flag is the yellow flag that has the coiled snake that says, don't tread on me. Last I checked, at least one state, I know a guy that has a Virginia license tag on his truck. It's a yellow, don't tread on me tag, officially issued by his state. Does that mean he's an extremist for having it? It's issued by his state. All right. On Tuesday, Project Veritas released documents from the FBI outlining symbols they say are commonly used by, quote, anti-government or anti-authority violent extremists. The leaked document obtained through an FBI whistleblower lists numerous symbols, historic references, common phrases, and military networks that militia violent extremists, end quote, may use or associate with. Here's the actual quote from the document. You ready? The following symbols are used by anti-government or anti-authority violent extremists, specifically militia violent extremists, MVE. MVE symbols are found on propaganda, online platforms, memes, merchandise, group logos, flags, etc. Widespread use of symbols and quotes from American history, especially the Revolutionary War. And it goes on to say, while they don't necessarily say that just the symbol itself is automatic evidence of illegal activity or indicator of prone to violence, they go on to then to list the symbols, though, that they should watch out for. Things like 2A, standing for Second Amendment, with the FBI saying militia violent extremists often justify their existence with the Second Amendment. How about things like the right to bear arms, warrior culture, military themes, both historical and contemporary, with the examples of Spartans in Valhalla and Molon Labe, which translates to come and take it from the Greek. The document also lists a number of historic symbols, including the Gadsden flag, the Liberty Tree, the Betsy Ross flag, as well as Revolutionary War imagery from the American Revolution that gave the nation its freedom, and uses of common phrases, things like when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty, or a well-regulated American militia, or I will not comply. All I'm saying is this. Those are historical, those are patriotic, and those are, by the way, not necessarily anything to do with being a militia violent extremist. I can't help it if somebody has something on their truck, like a sticker on the back that says they're a 3%er. So what? So they're automatically a violent extremist? Listen, sitting right here, I just told you the story about the Spartans. Uh-oh, look out, I said that. Saying Molon Labe, come and take it. I said that. If you're looking at the screen right now on the live broadcast of the show, on the top shelf of the little shelves on the wall behind me, there's a Liberty Tree flag. How about that? From the Revolutionary War. How about the fact that, I've got a hat at home with a picture of a Spartan helmet that says Molon Lobby on it. Listen, this is a big deal. When the FBI, now somewhere in there, I have to wonder, as I read this article, I could not help but think, why did that piece not say, and also watch out for things like the BLM flag or Antifa's anarchy symbols, or for people wearing black hoods and all black gear and carrying trash can shields as they march downtown and burn your buildings. Where's that? Nowhere in there. It's all about the conservative, patriotic, God-fearing, leaning on the things that founded this nation. Oh, that's the violent extreme. Oh, we're the ones burning the buildings down. Is that what I'm hearing now? Well, Ted Cruz took issue with this. So the next story I've got comes from townhall.com, dated yesterday. Headline, "What Are Y'all Doing? Cruz Scorches FBI Director for Targeting Patriotic Symbols." So this was a great article. In fact, I'm so glad he did this. Everything that I was thinking as I read the first article, he asked or said in the hearing that's quoted in the second article. It says, in Thursday's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with FBI Director Christopher Wray, Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz took Wray to task for the Biden administration's politicalization of the Bureau that's been turned into a weapon against conservatives. See what I'm talking about? This is my point. This is my point. The come and take it, the theme here, come and take it, is a direct result of the leaning forward posture against conservatism that we're too often seeing in an executive branch being headed by liberals. To illustrate his concerns, Cruz brought up, and there it was, the same domestic terrorism symbols guide that I just read you about, that lists things like the Gadsden flag, the Betsy Ross flag, the Gonzales battle flag, the one that says come and take it, has a picture of a cannon, and listed those as being examples of violent extremism. Here's his quote. He says, quote, "Now that's fairly remarkable that the Betsy Ross flag and the FBI's indication is indicative of militia violent extremism, because among other people who have been publicly alongside the Betsy Ross flag, we have President Barack Obama, who was sworn in underneath two Betsy Ross flags. And not just President Obama, we have President Biden, who was sworn in under Betsy Ross flags." And then he shows the pictures. He said, also on this list is the Gadsden flag. He says, now the state of Virginia, I just said this a minute ago, didn't I? State of Virginia has a license plate with the Gadsden flag. And he says, as a Texan, I was struck by the fact that you have the Gonzales battle flag, the come and take it flag, as indicative of being a violent extremist militia. He said, I'm going to go ahead and self-report to you right now that every day in the Senate, I wear my boots that have the Gonzales battle flag on the back of them. And he picked up his boots and put them on the dais. He said, Director Wray, what are y'all doing? This makes no sense. Here's the cluelessness. This is the lack of leadership that we're seeing right now. The FBI director could only offer that he wasn't familiar with the document. So this story broke several days later. FBI Director Christopher Wray. It broke several days. You cannot tell me that your media folks didn't pick up on the fact that this story, Project Veritas, broke this story. And the director of the FBI was going to be coming to testify before Congress the next day or two after. And he didn't bother to familiarize himself with it or to inquire where it came from or why. I guess plausible deniability here says, hey, if you know nothing, you can't say nothing. Well, that's what it sounds like. But Cruz did not stop there. He pointed out the FBI chose not to include things like Antifa or things like Black Lives Matter. They just identify patriotic Americans as being suspect. So, folks, I'm telling you, come and take it. What we're seeing here is more than what we should be seeing from government as they target certain mindsets. There's nothing, nothing's happened. Nothing's gone wrong. If anything, why aren't they targeting the people who actually burned down the buildings? Story from the Epoch Times. Change of subject, but in the same vein. Come and take it. IRS stockpiles more than 5 million rounds of ammunition. What? Now, if you're not aware, that literally, the IRS, they do have law enforcement capability. They have like 2,100 law enforcement officers. So to some degree, I get it. But what we found here is that most recently, the IRS has just gotten a budget boost to hire upwards of 80,000 new audit and analysts. And now we're also finding out, in a storyline here from the Epoch Times dated August 1st, the IRS has stockpiled 5 million rounds of ammunition and spent over $725,000 on bullets just this year, according to Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, who has a bill now to block further ammunition purchases by the agency. He's not going to get that bill through, but the reality is there should be questions asked and answered. So with them spending $750,000, you also reflect back, and I remember this, there was a 2018 report from the Government Accountability Office that said that the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division, that does have 2,100 officers, had stockpiled 5 million rounds of ammunition. And not just there, the governmental agencies that are also stockpiling weapons and ammo, it seems like, are the Environmental Protection Agency, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. I mean, maybe they've got facilities to guard. Maybe they, I don't know. Smithsonian Institution has 620 armed special agents. But what I'm saying here is 5 million rounds of ammo with the IRS. Whoo! Boomer, you got me a call, brother, on line one. I was Victor from Huntsville. Hey, Victor, Phil Williams on right side. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. This is Victor Lima. How you doing, Phil?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So talking about violent extremism and these symbols and everything, wait until they read the Declaration of Independence. You know, I mean, I talked to a few people on social media, and one guy said, well, no, that was with the British. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, the people that wrote it were British. They weren't Americans yet, you know?
That's a great point.
The context, you know, the context of that. And they're like, well, that was okay because they were declaring that against the British, you know? And I'm like, no, they were declaring it against their own government, you know? That's the whole point of the Declaration, is to say, like, hey, when your government goes terribly wrong and off the rails, don't take any action, you know, lighthearted, just kind of seriously go into overthrowing your government. You really got to consider what you're doing. But the Declaration essentially says, like, when they go completely off the rails, it's time for men to stand up.
Yeah. Well, and you're exactly right. And by the way, that was the context. It was a declaration of independence from their own government. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
They said, we want to let go of you because we don't like what you're doing. You're putting soldiers in our homes. You know, it lays out many different points of here's what the king is doing, and we said we no longer want a king. And so if the government starts acting like a king, that's not the way our Constitution is established. That means they've gone off the rails. They've walked away from our Constitution, which is the authority. It's not the people in charge that are the authority. It's the Constitution that's the authority.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting, too, is there's no balance. I mean, if you looked at it and said, okay, I guess maybe they're going to try and say certain things are maybe like giving them reasons to alert. And they also included Antifa and BLM and others who actually are violent extremists. You might feel like there's at least some balance in their approach. But when they start targeting purely the patriotic and conservative viewpoints and symbology, that also seems to indicate there's a complete bias on their part, wouldn't you think?
Completely. Complete prejudice. They only see one side.
Yeah.
All they want is power. It's a complete power grab, Phil. And they've walked away from the Constitution they swore an oath to. They all need to read it, and they need to read the Declaration of Independence when they read it, because the Constitution ties directly back to the Declaration of Independence. They're inseparable.
All right, man. Listen, Victor Lima, I'm up against a break, brother. I got to do it, but appreciate you as always, and have a great day, man.
Hoo-ah.
All right, hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah, you too. Bye.
All right, Boomer, take us to a break. We'll do that right now. I got more on this. We're going to lap over the top of the hour, I guarantee you. Come and take it. I got a story right here. Justice Department suing the state of Idaho. Why is that? Or how about this? Did you know that the Capitol Police in D.C. are trying to hire their own prosecutor so they can be both the arresting and the prosecuting authority? Not supposed to work like that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. We got somebody held on during the break, and I certainly appreciate that. Let me jump right to it. Hey, it's Steve from Tennessee. Steve, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing fine. I wanted to comment about this extremist thing, back to something you talked about actually on Monday, where they're using their version of what's an extremist, you know, to weed people out of the military. And to me, what they're doing by using the vaccine and who wouldn't take it, you know, that's those people are generally people that cling to the Constitution, the very thing we swear an oath to, you know, to protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Every single person comes in, raises their hand for that. And that's the very thing they're using to kick them out. And to me, what it comes to me, it's like what the Nazis did when they lined up the men they thought were Jewish and said, drop your pants. We want to see if you're circumcised. It's
wow.
The same thing. They are cleaning house. They're doing it on purpose. And it started, you know, it started with Obama. I watched it happen. But it started with chaplains.
Yeah.
You couldn't be a chaplain. You couldn't do what your cross told you to do because that was going to violate somebody's conscience. So you had to stuff it. And I had two that worked for me that got out because of that.
Yeah.
And so now you've got this going down, and I think they're trying to find everybody in there that they can that is a constitutional clinger, if you want to call it that.
I'll call it that.
The people I'd rather be in the foxhole with, but that's just me.
That's exactly right. Clinging to our Bibles and guns, right? I mean, I look at it too, and Steve, it almost feels like there's like an air of desperation, like get as much done as you can because they might stop us eventually. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's what they're doing. I think they're trying to run as many people off and knowing that most of them won't come back.
Wow. Well, you know what? I don't disagree.
They're also running people off. Listen, they're running off like my kid that's in there now. People that would be inclined to be that way because they've been raised that way. I heard this, you know, that most of the people that sign up are coming from the South. And guess what? Hardly anybody's signing up. Well, duh. You know,
yeah.
They're looking at mom and dad and saying, I don't want to be in this.
Yeah, I mean, right now that the Army recruiting can't hit any milestones, they're having to lower their milestones because they're not meeting mission. They're 40% below the mark that they had set for this year. Meanwhile, they're hiring 80,000 IRS auditors. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, that scares me. That scares me, man.
Well, that's when they weaponize the IRS.
Well, it's like Pelosi wanting to put Capitol Police in Florida. Pardon me?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one, but I need to go out now and research that one.
Look it up. She did. She did this. They were proposing. I think DeSantis shut it down, but she was proposing to put an outpost of the Capitol Police in Florida several months back. I mean, back around the time frame and all this January 6th committee and all that stood up. That was something that she proposed. You can find it.
Man. Steve. I mean, it gets thicker, but you know what? This is where you have to have the attitude to come and take it. This is where we have to be willing to say, yeah. You know what? That's wrong. Like the one that I'm going to get to in a few minutes where the ATF agent showed up at the door just to check and see whether the guy's guns were actually in his house. No warrant.
I saw this.
Yeah.
I saw this on the news. Yeah.
And that's a great place to say, sorry, sir, but the answer is no. Anyway, Steve, appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
Sir.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah. Steve always got good commentary. And by the way, I know Steve was working with Boomer on sound quality for the phones. You're welcome to send a message to the show, by the way, if there's something about the we had one caller yesterday that for some reason the volume dropped off, and then we feel like we're trying to tweak our phones to make sure they're tight. So Boomer's over here hitting the dials and running the tests on it. But I think we're good. He sounded good to me, Boomer, on that one. Are you feeling good about it? If you could see his face right now.
We're working on it.
A work in progress. Well, listen, I got a lot more on this, but Steve makes great points. It's the constitutional clingers. Well, I'll take that title. I love that. Constitutional. Clinging to our guns and Bibles is what Obama accused us of, like that was some kind of an insult. I got news. I got both, and they're usually both close by. Folks, I'm not through with this topic. We're going to do more on this. I got the ones I didn't even get to because Steve's call was so good. I got the next thing coming up here about Idaho getting sued by the DOJ for daring to pass an abortion law. Or how about the Capitol Police hiring their own prosecutor? Or how about New York deciding it's going to check your social media before you can have a gun permit? Or how about the ATF showing up on your door with a checklist just to make sure you really do have those guns in your house? What the heck? Come and take it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here in the Right Side Studios. Man, we're covering down on the issues. Solid conservative and just plain right. Blanketing North Alabama, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, listen, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. Come and take it. Generated a few calls. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm extremely leery of heavy-handed government. Now, I recognize that government has policing authority, and it has to. That's part of the good order and discipline of society, is to make sure that the bad are prosecuted and that the bad are, by the way, arrested and stopped. But there's more to it than that. What I'm looking at right now is when the heavy hand of government overreaches, when it puts the thumb on people, when it decides who the winners and losers are, not based upon criminal activity, but on, I don't know, a difference of opinion, an intent, a perception. Or how about the fact that they just don't like the way you or your state is doing something. Story on the Daily Wire, dated 3 days ago, August 2nd. Justice Department sues to block Idaho's pro-life law in the first suit since the Dobbs ruling. You can't tell me there's not a predisposition here. They were waiting to see what would happen. Now, Alabama's law, by the way, is almost a direct match to Idaho's. Idaho passed their law after the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Dobbs v. Jackson healthcare case out of Mississippi. The Department of Justice, it says in Daily Wire, sued the state of Ohio on Tuesday over its near-universal ban on abortions, the first lawsuit of its kind. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the lawsuit in a press conference on Tuesday afternoon. The Biden administration's chief prosecutor claimed the Idaho law illegally restricts access to abortion. How about this? The Idaho law, which takes effect August 25th, it's going to make it a felony to perform an abortion. That's what it does here in Alabama, by the way. And the governor said this amounts to federal meddling. The governor said the federal government is looking to find conflict where none exists, because the Supreme Court just finished saying that there was no constitutional authority vested in the Supreme Court to have made its prior rulings on Roe and determined that there was some constitutional right to an abortion. Therefore, if they don't have the authority, in the absence of congressional action, what you're looking at is that the Constitution currently says under the 10th Amendment that whatsoever has not been a power enumerated to the federal government is therefore devolved to the states. And Idaho said, okay, we're going to pass a law. And the federal government says, no, you're not. And so now under Merrick Garland in the Biden administration, the intent is to sue the good people of Idaho for daring to exercise what the Supreme Court and, oh, by the way, the Constitution of the United States says they certainly have a right to do. I don't like it, but there are some states that have pro-abortion laws. Why are they allowed to make a pro-abortion law, but yet you can't have an anti-abortion law? If the states have the rights to some level of self-determination, why is it that the targeting is only in one direction? If they are allowed to make a pro-abortion law, then by virtue of that, there has to be the opportunity to also have states that have an anti-abortion law. If you're going to say that states can't meddle in the realm of abortion, then you have to go after states on both sides of the aisle, but they're not doing that, are they? It's the thumb of big government pressed down upon who they've determined should be the winners or the losers. In this case, they believe the losers are, once again, the conservatives who are pro-life. How about that? I got another one. Before I do that, though, I got a call. Hey, it's Sparky from Harvest on line one. Sparky, how you doing, brother?
I'm awesome, Phil, and happy Friday to you and Boomer. Great show. I have to stand back from it every now and then, and I think politicians in Congress, particularly, they're obliged to speak in very soft and subtle terms, and never exactly yell at somebody who's clearly a liar. A dishonest manipulator, a crooked official. It's just not done. It's not, at least not done by conservatives anyway. But I never forget that these people in Washington are at war against half of the United States.
Yeah.
They are at war. Everything they do by weaponizing the FBI, by completely ignoring the Supreme Court at this point, and to speak to your last segment, they wish to destroy everything and everybody with a conservative, Republican, Judeo-Christian foundational belief. And if we kid ourselves to think, well, this is politics and things go, they ebb and they flow. Well, they do ebb and they flow historically, but the pendulum has swung so unbelievably far left and socialist to the beyond the point of totalitarianism, outrageous power being enforced by and weaponizing the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA against Americans, not worrying all the where thousands and thousands and thousands of illegals coming across the border are coming from,
yeah,
and what diseases they have against us. And I tell you, there's, in my opinion, never been a more important election than the one coming up and then the one again in 2024. We're going to go too far down, and then it won't even, pendulum won't ever swing back again. And that's kind of where we're at. We can't get complacent.
Yeah.
And when people hear about the red wave in November and they get complacent and they sit at home and don't go and vote, they're going to screw up like they did in 2009.
Yeah. Folks who vote on the red side of the ticket had better get to the polls, because I don't care if they think I live in a red state. The only thing I can do is impact Alabama. We're going to be safe. Don't assume anything. Go provide the overwhelming evidence that that we're a red state, and oh, by the way, add to the fray by doing so. But I think you're exactly right. This is half the United States is being deemed a target in many ways. And we're not so far removed from the days of Lois Lerner weaponizing the IRS. Remember that? Go ahead.
Not at all. And now when you talk about the IRS having uniformed enforcement thugs,
yeah,
and controlling millions and millions of rounds of ammunition, I'll tell you what, the conservatives who have been steadily stockpiling weapons and whatnot, in the spirit and the original meaning of the Second Amendment, it is not just to defend their home against intruders. It's to be prepared to go against a tyrannical, illegal, immoral, and unjust government. And I think the people inside the Washington, D.C. beltway think it'll never happen. They're pushing it. Buddy, they're pushing it.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, man. But, hey, I appreciate your input, Sparky, as always, brother. You have a good weekend, all right?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. All right, listen. I mean, I continue on this theme. I'm gonna try and wrap this up, because I'm gonna move to another segment here in a few minutes, just prior to my phone call with Matt Clark at the bottom of the hour. But there's another story I've got here off of Red State. So I'm in the come and take it. I'm in the mode right now where I'm giving you evidence of the big hand of big government deciding, because it's so big and believes in itself more than anything else, believing that it's not there for you, it's there for itself. Right, what we're seeing right now, big government is scared to death of not being allowed to be big government. So big government is literally lashing out to try and put everybody in their place so they can be allowed to be big government. Capitol Police pursue unconstitutional scheme to hire their own prosecutor. Story off of Red State, dated August 2nd. I hadn't seen this anywhere else, but here it is. Says, if you thought Nancy Pelosi's questionable creation of the January 6th Select Committee was bad, then the United States Capitol Police just set aside its beer in an attempt to best her. There's an image. According to the Daily Wire, the Capitol Police is looking to hire its own prosecutor, an unprecedented and certainly unconstitutional move. So the job ad asked for people to respond to a request to hire a special assistant U.S. attorney located in the Capitol Police District offices in Washington, D.C. It says a successful candidate will also work under the direct supervision and authority of the Washington U.S. Attorney's Office. And it goes on to point out the conflict of interest is apparent immediately. Prosecutors are supposed to be disconnected from the entities they pursue. In this case, the Capitol Police reports directly to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, meaning the Speaker of the House would conceivably have some control over a prosecutor used to target other members of Congress. Can you imagine? The Capitol Police are not just there to protect the Capitol from outsiders. They're also to address issues that occur by the insiders. But if Nancy Pelosi has not only the authority to direct the movements of the Capitol Police, but they also have their own prosecutor, then she technically has the judge and the jury in her hands, if you know what I mean. So of course, the big idea here is the big question is why. And the article goes on to say the idea is they need their own prosecutor because the types of cases they deal with does not hold water. The DOJ already exists. It's been dealing with those cases since the inception. So what suddenly changed? What suddenly changed, it says, is the idea that January 6th defendants, most of whom are charged with petty crimes like parading, are so specialized that not even the normal DOJ office can handle them. And the simple answer here is also the correct one, probably, it says. The Capitol Police is controlled by Pelosi, who made sure to put her political operatives in positions of power over the department. An in-house prosecutor would be a complete violation of the separation of powers. Moving on, wrapping this up, I've got a story here that you've already heard before. After the city of New York lost their case at the Supreme Court on how they were handling gun permits, requiring you to have to show, what was the phrase they had to show, that you had a special need in some way to be able to have a carry permit. They created another debacle. They rushed back out and revised their laws, and now they have one that, among other things, requires you to give them the last 3 years of all your social media. Now, what if your social media is handled by someone else? What if your social media is part of your business? What if your social media is something you haven't been on, or for that matter, you've had a life change since then, or for that matter, if you were hacked? But now you got to show them your social media. What kind of things do you say in your off time to allow you to have a gun? We must know. Why? Because the goal here is this will allow the state of New York to determine an applicant's, quote, good moral character, which is now a prerequisite to obtaining a firearm. Who decides what's good moral character? The same people that are allowing gay pride fetish parades to walk down the street and drag queen story times? Good moral character? Because I said something about the Second Amendment or I had the Gadsden flag tag on my car? Good moral character to get a gun permit in New York. Last one I've got. I'll stop with this one. The Truth About Guns is a website where you can read stories that impact Second Amendment issues, and they have a story here that ought to curl your hair. It's dated back to July 19th. In this particular story, in Delaware, two ATF agents and a Delaware police trooper showed up at a man's house in vests, fully marked, showed their badges, but they went to the door, and when he answered the door, he said, "Can I help you?" They didn't have a warrant, and they said so. They didn't have a warrant. They said they were part of a straw purchase task force, and they were there with a checklist to make sure that the multiple guns that he had purchased over the last 6 months were actually still in his possession, that he had not bought them for somebody else. No warrant. Show us your guns. They had the serial numbers. They wanted to know if he had them. If he didn't have them, what was going to happen? I don't know. We don't know that part because he did. And he was concerned, but he recorded the whole thing on a Ring doorbell. And at one point, you can hear them talking to themselves going, "He doesn't believe we're police officers." And one of the other guys goes, "I don't blame him." They didn't like what they were doing either. They were ordered to go to a man's house, knock on the door, and ask him to show them his guns. They checked him off the list, and they went on their way. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that is not supposed to happen. That's exactly what the Second Amendment is supposed to prevent, what the right of due process is supposed to prevent. That's why we have warrants. They have to be signed off by judges. But he gave consent, and that's the thing. They're clear because they didn't come in and they didn't get anything that he didn't consent to show. But the reality is, what if he had said, "I don't have it. My son borrowed it"? What if he had said, "I don't have it. I turned it into the gunsmith to have it engraved or to have it modified"? He happened to have them with him, so he showed them. They checked him off the list, said, "Thank you for your time." How many other doors have they knocked on? I don't know. But "Come and Take It" comes to mind when I hear that. All right, Boomer, I ran a couple minutes long on that one, man. We'll have a short segment when we come back to intro the next topic. But that's number one of the Triple Dipper, y'all. Come and take it. Those were just a handful of stories that indicate that right now what we're seeing, especially out of D.C., is a form of government that decides that it's there to protect itself and to regulate you so that it can be big government. Ooh, come and take it's what I say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Boomer, you always forget that I have to wait until I hear Sammy Hagar yell in the microphone before I can go live on that one. So It's a thing. Hey, we got a caller held on during the break? Yeah, okay. Hey, line one, Ron from Lacey Springs. Ron, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just a little bit concerned about your last conversation or topic there on the ATF coming in wanting to see his guns.
Yeah.
How did they get a list?
Well, they had a list because of the federal background checks that are required at the point of sale. So he had purchased.
It was my understanding that nobody was supposed to be keeping records. I mean, that's a background check, but the ATF is not supposed to be keeping records of that.
Oh, I agree. That's part of the issue is how did they show up with a clipboard? I see your question now. So how did they show up with a clipboard? I don't know. I mean, but obviously they did, and they knew exactly what guns he had, and they matched the serial number of his weapon to what they had on the check sheet. And so,
to me, the ATF is illegally keeping records that they're not supposed to be keeping.
One would think, and these were not. National.
That there are not. I mean, there is not supposed to be a permanent record of the gun that you purchased. It's supposed to be a background check to make sure you're legal to buy a gun, and no record is supposed to be kept of it past that.
And these were not National Firearms registered guns. There were no automatic weapons. There were no silencers. This was. These were just straight up purchases that happened at some local gun shop. I don't have the answer for you on that, Ron. But the reality is, the whole thing's a bad deal.
Well, I think we should be calling our congressmen and senators and making sure they get rid of that list.
I totally agree. Ron, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, folks, well, listen, coming up next in the next segment here, I'm going to move into a place that's a different place in the Triple Dipper. I'm going into number two, rogue DAs. So what exactly is prosecutorial discretion? Well, first of all, you're hearing these stories about these DAs around the nation that they're choosing not to enforce the law. It's not a matter of prosecutorial discretion. Prosecutorial discretion is when a prosecutor has the power to actually decide, you know, whether or not to charge a certain crime or which criminal charges to file, or for that matter, whether to use a lesser included offense as the primary, or whether to make a plea deal with someone in order to gain their, you know, cooperation as a witness against someone else, or whatever the case may be. Prosecutorial discretion is normal. And sometimes it promotes what they call judicial economy, because the docket's so full, we can get you on this one. We don't have the ability to literally, you know, prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you're guilty of the higher charge, so we'll go with the lesser. It keeps things moving. Maybe, like I said, it secures their cooperation as a witness on a future issue. But then there's a downside of prosecutorial discretion where sometimes their biases get involved. Well, that's prosecutorial discretion that becomes an abuse of discretion. But what happens when a prosecutor just announces that there's certain crimes they won't prosecute no matter what? Like, it's not discretion anymore, it's just ain't gonna do it. Well, that's a violation of the public trust. We're going to talk about that with Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty here in just a minute. He'll be on the phone with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.